Welcome to Season 3 of The Broken Banquet. Ashley's settled in Houston. I'm still in Costa Rica. But we're both really excited about bringing you more conversations about missions. We hope you'll enjoy this episode. Hello, Ashley.
Top of the morning to you, Will Bailey.
Sounds like you're having a productive morning, or at least productive 6 minutes before we started recording.
It was exceptionally good. You know, we got signed on. We got all the technical difficulties worked out before you arrived. And then we still had 6 minutes. And so I was able to go and to do some things and work out some financial things. And man, I just feel so accomplished. And it's only 9:30.
What a morning. Wow.
It's a really good morning. You know how I started my morning, though?
Drinking Costa Rican coffee.
Well, that much is true. However, the second great thing of the morning is I talked to your wife.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, lucky you.
It was so good. It was so, so good. I love starting my mornings with your wife, just talking and catching up.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Right on. I'm so glad.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, like, especially this time of year, we're so busy that sometimes we do need to just spend some time in the mornings catching up. So we've gotten into a routine of getting up at about 5 and we go sit in the living room, and sometimes we just read and sometimes we talk. And this is a crazy time of year for us, but it's good. There's a lot getting done, and good things are happening. We've got a team of 26 volunteers that are here this week, mostly youth, and they've had 2 really, really good worship experiences already with the church, with our church here in San Ysidro. Sunday night and again last night. It was just, it's so awesome. You know, we get a lot of people who come with kind of different backgrounds and different preparation and different expectations of what spending time with us here is going to be like. And for the most part, it's a positive experience. But there are some groups who just seem a little bit more open to experiencing to the fullest what's happening here during worship, even though it might look a little different than what they're used to and definitely sounds different than what they're used to. But there are teams who just dive right in, and it's incredible to watch. And I just had a kind of a moment Sunday night watching the youth from this church up front in our sanctuary, you know, dancing and praising with the Costa Ricans that were there. And thinking kind of this, like, this is it. Like, this is the whole point, you know. Mm-hmm. All the other stuff that we do is good and helpful. But if we can just come and worship God together, mm-hmm. and express how we can do that in common ways, but also learn from one another from how we do it in different ways, I think that's kind of the point, you know. So yep. It was good. It's been a good week.
Good. Yolanda sent me a video, and it did my heart good to see the goodness from worship last night. So yeah, that was, it was beautiful. Well, we've let our guests just sit here and listen to us talk for a bit. So maybe I should introduce you to a new friend of mine.
Okay.
So this one's kind of exciting because I met him and his wife pretty early on in my time here at the Woodlands. And we clicked immediately, like even as a foursome, my husband Chris and I and Ray and his wife Sue. And we clicked immediately. And Ray even invited us to his house for dinner. And they cooked us this beautiful meal and just a wonderful time together, and made Chris feel especially that he was at home here. So I'm excited to introduce you to Ray Heinen. Ray is originally from Egypt, and his wife, Sue, who I hope that I get to introduce you to on another one of our podcasts, I hope that we can chat with her. She is originally from Jordan, Palestine. She's just incredible, full of joy, full of the spirit. And Ray is too, don't get me wrong. But Ray works with a ministry called Sat7. So Ray, meet my friend Will, and Will, meet my friend Ray.
Very nice to meet you, Ray.
Good to meet you, Will.
Yeah,
likewise.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm just going to let it go from there. Okay, good. We're good. This is good.
You usually jump right back in, Ashley, and say and start, you know, saying more stuff.
Well, the second cup of coffee did not kick in yet, so that's why.
You know me too well. Well, Ray, I wanted to introduce you to Will. Will and I have been friends for, you know, over almost 20 years and have decided to do this podcast together. And specifically this season, I'm wanting to introduce him to our mission partners at the Woodlands Methodist Church. And so you have grown so dear to me so quickly, you and Sue both. Your friendship has just meant the world to us. And I've loved our times over meals together, especially. So why don't you just give Will a little glimpse into who you are?
All right. Fasten your seatbelt, Will. This is going to be very quick. Ashley said, we're born in Egypt, raised in Iraq. We'll come back to you in a minute about that. And lived in Egypt for a little while. Graduated from electronic engineering school in Iraq. And worked there for a couple of years, and then went back to Egypt to study theology. And then we got to meet me and Sue through the InterVarsity. I was leading a group to Jordan of the university students, and people were excited to introduce both of us as a worship leaders because we both in worship with different worship teams in Egypt and in Jordan. She's a soloist, so you're right about that. You need to talk to her and invite her to her your podcast. And then we, after graduation, ordination, all of that, and pastoring a church as a youth minister for 4 years in Cairo, we got married, and we moved to Oman, Muscat, to pastor a church in the expats church in Oman, Muscat, for about 5 years. Went back to Jordan to study theology. And then we had a hardship being in Christian life over there. Then the Lord has opened the door for us to come to the United States. So we're in California for 10 years from 2010 to 2020, actually, when we moved to Houston and we claim to be Houstonians.
Actually, right, I think we have a problem.
Okay.
I think you're getting to know people who are way too interesting for a 1 hour or less podcast. I'm not sure how to handle this.
You might be right.
Because there is a lot just in the last 2 minutes that I'm kind of stuck on. Like, I'm really thankful that I got to study theology where I got to study, you know, in Eastern North Carolina. But I mean, just the thought of studying theology in Egypt. I mean, come on. That's just not, maybe that's the only place people should study theology. It's like in the Middle East, maybe. Is there an argument that could be made for that?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, lots and lots to talk about, Ray. I'm really excited to get to know you and hear more about your story and your journey and what has brought you all the way to Houston. So, yeah.
Well, it's as you said, this is probably going to be just a part one for the unpacking part of the story somehow. Well, we faced a hardship as Christians back in the Middle East. I wouldn't go and throw details, thorough details, why this has happened. But in all cases, you know, there is a good say that I like you to remember because I would say like short phrases. So probably you'd like to remember that with me, you know. It's always been said, the old say, like, when it's God's will, it's God's will. So our foot was too much in the mud in the Middle East, and we thought this is the place where the Lord wants us to be. And how would you think that the Lord would like to take you out of the comfort zone, put you in a war zone, and take you back to the comfort zone back in here in the United States, so you would serve the Middle East better than being over there? With all of that, so the quick journey that I mentioned to you in the last couple of minutes or so, it was the Lord equipping us for this moment. Mm-hmm. And in a bit, we'll share more about what we do here as a ministry. But what we brought you to Houston is the Houstonians and the Texans and the generosity of the United States in general and in this land. We've been traveling all the time with the ministry I'm with. I'm sure Ashley will get to that in a minute. But we found that this is what we call it home. We came here even before we joined this ministry, Sat7, and we felt like, okay, Texas is our place. Out of the whole world, like moving from all the Middle East, moving to California, and now we have our boots and hats already, whatever, there is time for it. But when we came to the U.S., as you know, the southern phrase that they say, we didn't have a place to hang our hats. Mm. So we came from all the way from being homeless, which means we don't have a assurance if we will have a bed for the night, to be in the generous country and generous state like where we are.
Right. You've mentioned your personal friendship with Ray and his wife, but can you talk a little bit about the ministerial connection between your church and Sat7?
Sure. I would. I wanted to actually, I know, Ray, that you didn't, we said that we were just going to kind of give an overview about your life and journey. But the question I was going to actually ask next was, most listeners to this podcast are probably thinking there are Christians in Iraq. There's Christians in Oman. Like, what does that even look like? What does that feel like? So can we ask that question first, Will, and then come back to the other one?
Yes. This is a worldview question that you just ask, and I will just unpack it to you in a very simple words. Brother Will and Sister Ashley, as you know, you both studied theology. The Christianity was born in the Middle East. So having Christian Middle Eastern is the norm. It's just we are here so much busy with our Western understanding of Christianity, and we think this is a Western religion. It's not. It was born in the Holy Land. It was born, well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, like in my neighborhood. So, and both of my father and mother-in-law were born in Jerusalem themselves. So you kind of say that they were like a sort of a neighbors or maybe cousins to Jesus, if you go to the back to that, all of it. So Christianity was born and continued in the Middle East. So through the first church, the first centuries of the church, it was born in the Middle East. So wherever you go, you will find a lot of historical churches and other places in Iraq, in Syria, in Egypt, in Jordan. It's more than what you think the media is portraying or putting on television. But that's all to say that the Christianity was born in the Middle East, and there are still Christian families was born in there. But more than 95% or more of the current residents or citizens of the Middle East and North Africa right now, they're not Christians. And this is our mission.
I just wanted to say that out loud. I'm glad that you spoke exactly what I would have said. So great. I think that for so many of us that because of the media, because of what we hear constantly, that we are like, there's Christians in the Middle East? Who knew this? So thanks for making that clear for us. But yes, Will. So the Woodlands Methodist Church has, you know, about 140 partnerships over the world. And one of our great partners is Sat7. So if any of our listeners have ever been to maybe Turkey or to Jordan or to the Holy Land, Israel, perhaps you have seen, like you turn on the television in the hotel and you've seen one of the television stations is Sat7. And so we as a church are supportive of this ministry, and Ray is the representative, our direct partner, our direct link to Sat7. So Ray, do you want to give an overview about a little bit about what Sat7 is?
Yes. Well, Sat7 simply is a medium that started with the era of the cable and the satellite before the cable. And it's a media started through television, and it was the first 24/7 Christian message through television, free to air and uncensored. Mm-hmm. So in that, we've been since 30 years, actually we're celebrating 30 years this year. And it started in 1996 with 2 hours per week broadcasting in Arabic only. Now, fast forward, we're five different outlets, four channels on the satellite and the digital app, Sat7 Plus. We broadcast 24/7 in three languages, Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. And these are the majority of the spoken languages in that area. 350 million speak Arabic or any different forms in Arabic between the Arab world and the North Africa world as well. About 100 million, they speak Farsi, Iran and Tajikistan and some of those small stands, Afghanistan as well, they understand Farsi. And of course, the nation of Turkey, Asia Minor, as it's written in the Bible, about 100 million, 75 or 80 right now of a Turkish in Turkey, Turkey, now the new name of it, and some other small counties or countries that they speak or understand Turkish as well. So that gives us an exposure to 550 million viewers. And here is the thing about it. Well, it's a free-to-air and it's uncensored. There is no cable subscription. So free-to-air, which means if you are sitting in your living room, you have your remote and you flip it, you found Sat7, this is free. And it's uncensored because this satellite, until now, there is no like a technology. There is a technology, but it's not an effective technology to block or jam this satellite media. So we are in all of those homes, about 550 million people if they decided to. And we're just scratching the surface of having right now after 3 years, about 20, maybe 25 million viewers.
Is it accessible online as well or just over TV?
Yes, sir. People can go to the sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, number 7, USA.org. This is our main website here in the United States. And also the digital media, if you have an Android phone or an iPhone, you just go find Sat7 SAT, Sat7 Plus, SAT7 PLUS. And you can download that. And it's really up-to-dated app that we find a couple of things, all live channels and on-demand programs as well. So just to make it simple for your viewers, it looks like the display and landing page of the app looks like Netflix, but it has a Christian content. It has not... There's no Netflix on it. It's just the Christian message. And one more thing I'll say about that quickly. Many people here in the United States, when you say Christian television or evangelism through television, they don't have like a great experience with that, or it wasn't really as expected. But back in the Middle East, this is probably the only free-to-air accessible for everyone, where you get a solid teaching and you get close to the vision and mission of Sat7. I'm inviting you and all of your listeners to go to sat7usa.org. And in there, if you could just go to the About or the Sat7 Distinctives, you will learn more about how this mission and vision is working. And it's very simple. The vision is to see a growing church in the Middle East and North Africa, confident in Christian faith and witness, serving the community and contributing to the good of society and culture. And the mission related to that, to provide the churches, now we're talking again, here's churches in the Middle East, to provide the churches and Christians of the Middle East and North Africa an opportunity to witness to Jesus Christ through informative, and educational television and digital media.
So, Will, you could actually download the app and you could practice your Arabic by watching some of the television shows.
Ta-da.
Hey-o, look at you.
Bravo, well done.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
I'm ready.
I love it. One of the
I heard that you have some Arabic in you, so it's a good time to practice that.
Yes, too. I'm trying, and I'm always looking for simple things that I can listen to. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that's available that's just too advanced and too fast. But what's available?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the programs that we started that's educational part of it, when all the problems happened in Iraq and in Syria years ago. You know that you hear that the war has stopped, but the complications of the war didn't go away. So one of the complications is having millions of kids out of school. They don't have any schools to go to or education system. So we started an educational channel all together just to educate Christian, not only Christians, but any kid that will need to get education. For your interest, well, if you go through this app and type My School, you will find there is four or five short subjects, like Arabic is one of them. And this is, starts with an ABC, Aleph, Beh, alphabet, the, all the alphabet from the beginning. So that would be a good refreshing to what you learned so far, and it will take you to a different level of Arabic. But again, I have to tell you, it sounds like a joke, but it's not a really joke, but it's close to reality. The say or the brag about the Arabic language, they say it's like the heaven language. And the reason for that, because they say it will take eternity to learn it. So
that's encouraging. Thanks.
Well, we have the eternity to learn, brother.
One of the favorite things I think that we have approved as a mission committee here was they were, Sat7 was doing a Afghan series specifically directed for girls. And so there was a season that we as a church were able to fund. Can you tell us a little bit about that series, Ray?
Well, in general, you heard about Iraq and Syria, and that's how the whole thing started. But the situation in Afghanistan is more complex, more complicated, with Taliban is back, with all the embarrassments that we got worldwide because of that. But then a couple of things happened. The Taliban and their understanding of religion is very, very closed. And they don't treat women in a good way or kids. So they ask the kids who are in 12 years and more, girls, to stay home, don't go to school, and prepare yourself to be brides for the soldiers. You know what that's supposed to mean. It's very sad reality, but that's part of the reality over there, that they don't get education, they don't have any human rights or women rights, and education is part of what we can offer to them. So we started to find teachers who can do a couple of things. One, can be in front of the camera, so they can be in front of the kids. Two, have the educational skills, so they give them the hope of education. And this is mere education that they all need. Of course, do you know that Sat7 is a Christian satellite television? But, you know, that's the only source for them to start that. And we seeked help for our partners. And again, I have to say that Ashley knows that, but it's good for you, Will, to know that beside that it's free to air and uncensored, we don't have advertisements and we don't sell airtime. So that's have at least two good things. One, we have a full control of the message that comes out of the outlets. Two, is a great burden for, on us to cover the expenses of the broadcasting and all the production and all of that. This is where also the partnership comes. So Woodlands Methodist been in the relationship with Sat7 over 20 years right now. So that's way before my time, before Ashley's time. So we're just ripping the fruit of all the other people that who work with that from the church and from Sat7. So we build a lot of trust, and that's why when Ashley came in and we met with her, we really followed steps of very good, fine men and women, mm-hmm. Who loves the Lord, who made that happen. So when we ask the church to partnership with us in two big projects, one to Afghan project, I think that was not like it was a no-brainer, and the decision was quite fast and easy. Giving the history we have together, giving the cause of this project. And the other project was the viewers' discipleship and viewers' engagement, which is huge ministry right now. We're not only broadcasting the love of Christ, but we are looking after hundreds of thousands of viewers. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of counselors, and we have at least 80,000 counseling sessions we did last year only. I just sent the annual report to Ash yesterday or the day before. She can tell you more about that. But that tells you that any Christian, any church, any church that has missions in mind, or any church, we have two purposes in life, Well and Ashley. One is to worship the Lord, two, and make disciples. This is as simple as mm-hmm. the whole Christianity goes together. So it is not for some people to proclaim or to worship the Lord. We're all ought to worship the Lord and make His name known among the nations. So it is on our fabric as Christians, as church, as SAT 7 to work together to bring people to Christ. So this is where the Afghan came in, our Afghan project came in, and the discipleship beyond borders, that's how we called it, came in.
Have there been efforts to stop what you're doing? Has there been opposition? I'm not sure how anyone would even go about shutting you down. Obviously, if they can't, you know, scramble a satellite signal or something. But what sort of opposition have you all faced?
Well, it happened. And it happened. And let's say that we're thankful for the God's protection. No casualties, no problems with our personnel and the people who are on ground. It happened in a couple of ways, couple of forms. Sorry that I can't get into too much details how did that happen for the security of our teams on ground. But all what I can tell you that it's exactly like what happened with Joseph. The ask or the meant for bad, and the Lord turned it to be for our good. And the main thing I would like to tell you, yes, there have been many efforts to stop us or to lock us down or just to shut down the whole operation in different places. But let me tell you the end result of all of that. Governments are in our favor. They encourage us to do what we're doing because our message is peace. And that's what the Middle East is lacking. So actually, through the wars, through the negotiations, through all the settlements happening, no one was able to bring peace to the community, but SAT-7 does. So directly or indirectly, the local governments are in our favor and actually giving us more ways to participate. So you know what? This is when we say that he works in ways we cannot see. That's exactly what's happened because simply, and I will say another phrase here, SAT-7 is in the business of delivering theology through technology. Some of my colleagues don't like this phrase a lot. They said, oh, don't let people know that we are giving theology. That's boring all the time. But actually, all the Christian messages that we have, it's come from theology. So theology is the base of what we're doing. The technology is the medium that we're using to reach out to our viewers all over the world, whether we are in the Bedouin tent or in the palace in Saudi Arabia or somewhere else or anywhere in between. You know, that's what it is. Theology through technology. To simplify it for you, I'm sure you know that the DoorDash and Uber Eats, right? The DoorDash and Uber Eats in business of delivering food. We are in the business of delivering spiritual food. So most of the time, you probably don't remember the guy or the gal who delivered the food for you, or even if they were nice, but you remember the nice pizza that you got, and you say, yummy pizza. You may remember one of the two people who delivered the pizza for you occasionally, but that's not unlikely. But you would remember a good food that you received when it was fresh, hot, and up to your standard. So this is what we're doing. We're the medium. We're in the background. We're in the hidden behind the camera scene. But we are in the business of delivering the spiritual food, which is theology through technology.
Well, and we live in a time where technology is changing so, so fast. What are the ways that you see the medium that you use to bring the theology changing? Obviously, you have to evolve as the technology evolves. So what are the ways that you can see down the road that you will be getting the message to people that are different from the ways you're getting the message to them now?
I am so glad you asked that, Will, because that's our main concern day and night every day of how to be up to date. Okay, let me just back up a little bit here. SAT-7 is a pioneer in what they're doing. So by God's grace, we did not start the very first Middle Eastern Christian satellite channel, but we started what it could be like a lifelong ministry through the satellite television and the first 24/7, and the first to be in the SAT-7 Kids 24/7. So that was on the satellite era, cable era, and all of that. Well, let me borrow from the founder of Sat7, Dr. Terry Ascott, when he said that the satellite will remain for a longer time in the Middle East the king. It is so much like when you have your all of your digital books in your phone, but again, when you go back home, you still have a library and you open the book, the hard case. So this is the satellite will remain there. It's very easy, accessible, free to air to people. So that will remain as a king for the majority of people. Now, talking about the up-to-date digital stuff, we have the social media and digital media, as you noticed, and you downloaded the app yourself. So that answers your question. But more than that, now we are working closely to be up-to-date with the AI and how can that would help us to reach out and help our viewers to get more precise answers, more precise lifetime discipleship and counseling. So that's a lot of work, well, as you may know, and it costs a lot. It takes from our resources, it takes from our capacity, it needs more personnel people, more dedicated people who understand the IT, understand AI, and willing to work in that. And the investments on those areas needs a lot of resources. Let me tell you, one of our struggles most of the time, people would like to, they have the passion to give a hand to partnership with Sat7 for the production. But they don't really see that we have to have an updated equipment. And we need to have more cameras and more satellite, 4K, HD, all of that. So I said, well, guys, this is so much like opening a Kroger or a Walmart with a brand name on it, but you don't invest on the goods in there, and there is no products on the shelf. So what I will do with the brand without products, and what I will do with the products without a brand name and a buddy to do that. So it's actually one of, you touch a very dear area and to my heart, well, and this is where we would like people to think ahead of the game and think about what about 10 years from now. I tell you, 30 years ago, people thought we are crazy. And you told Dr. Ascott, you are so crazy to try to have a satellite channel. And hey, 30 years later, here we are. We're talking about millions of viewers who've been served personally every day. And it's a very cost-effective ministry. But that's, in fact, we'd like to see people come and say, I have a vision for that. Would like you to invest in AI. I would like to invest in more resources, new digital stuff, because this is the way for the future. This is the way to get to the young.
You know, Will, I am going with Ray to the Sat7 conference in Turkey in November. I don't know if you're doing anything November 5th through 7th, but then we thought we might take a little trip over to Egypt afterwards. So
about that. And you know what? Well, we're just talking with Ashley yesterday to visit the seminary, one of the seminaries in Cairo, which you just mentioned at the beginning. Like, how is that going to look like studying theology in Egypt? Well, count your blessings, brother. Come over.
You can meet my friend Anne, who is one of the theologians.
I know.
Look at the calendar, and I would say just mark it tentative until it's confirmed.
There are things on my calendar. The question is, are they things that can be moved? No. So moving along, I do kind of want to switch gears for a second because it's easy. You're bringing such really interesting people onto this program for us to get to know, which is fascinating. And I think there are some that we're definitely going to have more than one conversation with. But I want to stop just for a second and sort of turn the attention to the Woodlands and to your job at the Woodlands. How do you so far understand kind of your responsibility as the missions pastor of helping the congregation, this very large congregation, first of all, understand what a partnership with a ministry like Sat7 means for the life of the church, and also how do they feel connected to that? You know, we've talked in previous episodes about this isn't the kind of partnership where you're going to be taking a team of 30 volunteers. You know, the youth group isn't doing a car wash so that they can go for a week this summer, I guess, you know, to Turkey with you. So what are the ways that you're kind of translating this relationship to the church in a way that makes that relevant and important to them as a member of this church that supports this ministry? How are you feeling about that so far?
I feel really good about it. I think one of the things I had to do was understand the history of what missions look like here at the Woodlands. And what I've seen is that theological education and education in general is such a heart of missions at this church. That's how it started. So how can we support and encourage theological institutions and other educational forums around the world and invest into local leaders, local leadership, pastors, pastoral development? How can we support them in their own culture and context so that they can fully live into their calling that God has given them to go and make disciples? And one of the ways that I've seen the partnerships work is how do we pour into those who are on the front lines? How do we pour into our partners so that they feel fully encouraged and fully supported? And Ray is a little bit different. So Ray lives here in Houston. And so one of the great things about Ray is that he is available to come to our church just about any time. So Ray is able to put the Sat7 partnership in front of our congregation almost on a monthly basis. So he's in Sunday school classes, he's in small group meetings, and he is telling the story of what the Woodlands is doing throughout the Middle East through Sat7. And I think that that has made our congregation love and support and want to support more, not only Ray and Sue, but also the Sat7 ministry. And so it's a really good example of how our church is connected so easily because Ray lives in town. And so I'll just go with that one. For some of the others, you know, we Zoom calls and personal visits, those kinds of things are how we're trying to keep our congregation connected and engaged on a different level. But with Ray in particular, it's so good that he is in town that he can come by and put that picture and be the theology through technology representative to the Woodlands from Sat7.
So Ray, if I was the pastor of a 200 member church in North Carolina, and heard about Sat7 and was really interested and reached out to you or someone else, what are the ways that my church could get involved with what you all are doing?
Well, one of the ways that you can do that is just go to our website and sat7usa.org, and there is a place in there that says like invite a speaker. And you can request a speaker. One of us can come. If you'd like somebody by name, that's fine. Other way to do that, I'm just sending it to you guys a link right now on YouTube in one of my presentations that I made in a church like a year ago or more, maybe a little more right now. You can put that on a chat. I mean, on the podcast, when you podcast it, make it available. It's public. And this is going to give you a little bit of a presentation about Sat7. And also you hear from our audience. You hear the stories and of our audience and our viewers. It is embedded there, part of the presentation or part of the preaching as well. So as a good pastor, I would encourage you to watch that before, so you know what you're getting yourself into if you invite this guy to the pulpit. The other way of doing that, of course, we have a monthly prayer meeting, Zoom meeting, 30 minutes. We call it Beyond Borders Prayers. And this is also, if you go to the tab of Pray With Us, you will find a couple of things. One, to download the monthly prayer calendar day by day. So every month it's updated. You can subscribe to receive that automatically. And also at the right side of the same page of Pray With Us, you will find the registration to our coming one, which is going to be June 6, 17. We do it morning and evening, invite one of our colleagues from the Middle East to talk about a topic or a project for a few minutes, and then we spend time collectively as a Sat7 community, Sat7 friends, to pray together. So you'll find people from all over the nation praying together for like about 20 minutes or 30 minutes altogether of that time. And of course, not to forget that, as I said, the resources is very important. What we do over here in the United States, we are a support office, so we are working in development. I'm basically more interested, and this is probably why we clicked with Ashley quickly, on the partnerships and how to deepen this partnership rather beyond just the normal classical way which is needed. But choose a project or choose a way to support Sat7. There's another tab as well will let you do something like different. Sponsor a day. The day of a sponsorship is like about $700. But when you do that, hundreds of thousands of viewers will be able to watch that. So your church can sponsor a day as a start. And this is not too much of a money, but it has a lot of blessings as well. And we'll be willing to assist you and help you and give you any information. As Ashley said, our main work over here is to help the local community to see the work of the Holy Spirit in the Middle East. And we like hold hands together to make that happen.
Thank you.
So what else you want to talk about?
I'm just thinking about how I can rearrange my schedule for November. Birthdays November 8th, and that I can't move that. So
what better way to spend your birthday? Bring Yolanda with you, come to Turkey, then we'll go to Cairo, and then you'll go back home. It's a week tops. Come on.
Okay.
Have you ever thought about celebrating your birthday in Turkey or in Cairo at the seminary that you would like to visit?
It is my 50th birthday, and
Oh, no. All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're so young.
I've been told that this is kind of a big one. So,
okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Ray, is there anything you wish we had asked you?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. We like to be connected with a bigger community than just what we have. Just a little bit of encouragement. A friend of mine and my colleague who is right now retired, when he joined Sat7 22 years ago, we had 2,400 contacts only. Just the day before, we registered the number 100,000. So it is growing, the community is growing, but we still need more and would like to deepen the friendship. So if you have people who are interested in the Middle East, you have people who have different means of, like a pray for the Middle East, or they have a zeal for the Middle East, or they have heart for the Middle East, to see the Middle East in a different way, to see the Holy Spirit is moving there more and disciple people, help us to be upfront of those guys. You know, probably if I come and say, I'm an ordained pastor and go knock the door of the Woodlands at the reception, you will be very generous and receive me, but that would be just about it. But if I get invited or recommended or endorsed by one of you guys to your contacts and say, hey, look at this ministry, we've been partnered for like about 20 years or more, it's worth listening to or just spending half an hour for a cup of coffee or something. Trust me, we'll make it happen. I've been with surgeons, doctors who have work to do. So they invited me 5:45 in the morning to give a devotion and talk with them for 15 minutes before they start their schedule of operations. People who like cannot make it before 7 or 8 or 9 p.m. So we are around the clock trying to spread the good news and be the vehicle of the voice of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East. And actually, the word I would like you to remember as well, they are in isolation. They're isolated believers. When somebody comes to Christ over here in the United States, has a lot of resources to choose from. Like when you go to Kroger and you find a lot of, you want just a peanut butter, but you'll find like a 50,000 brands to get from. Our friends, our beloved believers who come to Christ, they have at least two big problems there. One is how to get discipled, how to get to know the Lord, because they don't have resources. Sat7 probably would be the only resource they would have. And it's free to air and uncensored. And the other problem is how they can walk with Christ, be without a community, because most of them, they cannot say that we convert to Christianity And in fact, what we like to tell you, we're not helping people to get converted, but we're helping people to do a couple of things. One, a restart and a reset, which both are very different. A restart, that's a new beginning for the new creation in Christ. The reset is like, okay, you put everything back to the ground and you start from scratch. Or many times you need to dig in their culture and then their traditions and then bring the Christianity to them. So actually, it's a very tough business and ministry, but we're glad to do it and we're privileged that we have this way to do it. So back to the question, yes, help us to find more friends with Sat 7. Let's put it this way.
So we definitely need to have another conversation. And I want it to be, I'd really like to hear more about what you just talked about, the restarting and resetting and what that looks like from your perspective, from the ministry's perspective, but also help our listeners visualize what that means for someone in one of these countries where it's very dangerous to convert to Christianity, because that just, it's a complete upheaval of their lives.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we have time today, but I would love to come back and talk to you again. And I'm sure, I don't know how much of it you can talk about, but as much as you can, you know, help us understand what it really means. Cause we've talked about this before. It's easy for me to be a Christian. It's easy for Ashley to be a Christian. There's no danger involved, but we know that's not the case for a lot of people and a lot of the people that you're reaching out to. So I think we could do an entire episode just on that, what that reality is like, and help us understand and empathize and respect what that means to people who are really putting their lives and their families in danger because they're deciding to follow Jesus. Yes.
Well, absolutely. I'm glad to do it well. And let me just answer your question quickly with a very short story from our audience.
Yeah, great.
A young lady at that time, she was, I think, 11, maybe 12, from Iran, in one of the very remote areas, interior areas, out of nowhere. She was looking at her iPad, found Sat7, started to watch all the programs and the theology. So cut the long story short, she wanted to get a copy of the Bible, so we got her one digitally, and she started to read. She prayed. She became born-again Christian, and she has no community. So while she's reading, a smart young kid found out that she needs to get baptized, and that's to the obedience to the Lord and to proclaim her faith. And here's the dilemma that she faced. That's to your question. She's young woman, isolated, cannot go and find another believer to practice that with, cannot go and try to find if there is a church nearby. If she ever announced that she's reading the Bible, probably she will be beheaded. So that's a tough situation for a teenager, for anyone, and especially in teenager. And then you're talking about Iran. This is not in Egypt or other more modest country. But here's the thing, and that's the closure of it. She sent us through Facebook, if I remember well, that was like 8 or 9 years ago. And she said, I read what happened about the baptism and how the baptism has been done. At the same day, while I was praying, I watched on Sat7 Pars Jesus film, and I saw how the Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, was baptized. So I thought all what I needed to do is water and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within me, and he is in my room, and the water is over there. So, Brother Will, Sister Ashley, I have 2 degrees in theology, and I tell you, what she just did is okay. She did not need a confirmation from a big community or that kind of thing. She filled her tap with water, and she baptized by herself as she saw on the Jesus film. And she said, now I can proclaim myself and say that I'm Christian. Was that tells you what kind of challenges people are facing in the Middle East when they claim or proclaim Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Lord?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I think that's a perfect way to end our conversation. Just incredible.
Just incredible. Ray, I'm so thankful for you and who you are and how God has called you to ministry. And I'm thankful for the friendship that you have brought to my table and invited me to your table. And so thank you for just being you. Thank you for you and Sue for making me feel like this was home.
Absolutely. And we'll wait for you, Will, until you come to Houston and come and visit us as well.
Great.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ray.
Will, I hope you've enjoyed this as much as
yeah.
I have.
Yeah. Good. Good morning. Thank you.
All right. Well, until next time with another new friend that I bring you, it's been a wonderful top of the morning to you.
Sounds good, Ashley. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, Ray. Bye, Will.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Broken Banquet, a podcast by Will Bailey and Ashley Goad. Music provided by Irene and the Sleepers. Join us next week for another episode. He's prepared the table. All things are ready. Come to the feast.